Nope, seems to be working. Let's see if this, yeah, seems to be working. All right. Welcome everyone to the VC API call. This is March 15th, 2022. Our agenda, is in chat. On the agenda today, just our typical agenda review, introductions, relevant community updates. And then we have a lot of PRs to go over, which is great. Thanks to everyone that did PRs. Thank you, Mike ProRock and Mike Farley and everyone else that contributed. So yeah, we've got a long list of things to get through today. And that's it. Like, we're just doing PR reviews for the whole call. Any other changes or updates to the agenda? Is there anything else folks would like to talk about? All right. If not, let's go ahead and get started. First topic up is agenda review, introductions, relevant community updates. Everyone knows everyone here. So I think we're good. So we don't need introductions, reintroductions. Any relevant community updates? All right. I think the Mike, I don't know if it's worth talking a bit more about kind of the VC API as it relates to like the VC2.0 working group, like a continuation of the discussion that started on the CCG call earlier today. Thoughts or Brent, I don't know what your thoughts were on that, as well.
I don't know if Brent has comments. My concern is primarily if we can't take at least a core set of, you know, issue, verify, holder type operations, and define a clean REST API in some kind of normative fashion, like that eventually, right? It doesn't have to be a part of Working Group 2.0. I think we can use Working Group 2.0 to flush it out. But if we get strong pushback on, and I think you brought this up towards the end of the CCG meeting, right? Like, I would like a statement in there that says, yep, we intend to take this normative at some point, you know. You know, these are things that concern me a bit about, especially seeing some of the politicking towards the end of the DID working group and some of the politicking going on, even in just getting this charter to a state where people agree with it, right? These are things that make me nervous.
Brent, thoughts?
I wonder how much pushback we're going to get in the VC working group to bring some of these things in if they're not a little bit more settled. You know, I think the notion of saying, here's a note and we're publishing it as a user guide that talks about this community draft report. And here's how you would make use of that to do this over HTTP and REST requests. I think the more concrete it is getting into that, the better chance there'll be of people not caring so much that it shows up there. But I will never not be surprised at what some people end up feeling deeply about. And so the cleaner it is going into it, I think the better chance we have of it happening.
Thank you, Brent. I agree, with that, Brent. And I also agree, you know, Mike, that there's, you know, concern, right? So, you know, I think the elephant in the room is like, it's pretty clear that OpenID Foundation is going to define a VC API, or sorry, a thing that moves VCs. And the timeline I've heard is by Q3 or Q4 of this year, it will be done. And so if that is the case, the question, you know, then is, where does the VC API play in that? And what should the VC 2.0 working group say about that? I'm as concerned as everyone else is around that. And I don't think it's very clear, like, what we should say. So just speaking from a personal level, I think it is problematic for anyone to say that the protocols are going to be anywhere near done in the next 2 years, right? I think there are going to be people in organizations that want to say that, but looking at the current protocols, it doesn't seem like there are definitely multiple rough spots on all the protocols that exist today. And, you know, and the market continues to mature and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I don't know if anyone else feels differently about this, but saying that there will be a standardized protocol or one of many standardized protocols by the end of this year, I think is a dangerous thing to say. I don't know if that is controversial or not. Or you're on the queue. Go ahead.
I don't think saying that there won't be only one is controversial. I think it would be controversial not to acknowledge that there are currently multiple protocols for moving these things around at various levels of standardization, everything from community drafts in the CCG to drafts at IETF to working group work items at IETF to work items at OpenID Foundation to community drafts at DIF. I mean, I'm aware of a large number of protocols that move VCs around. And I think we should expect the future to look like the present and the past in that regard. And I wouldn't say much beyond that.
Okay. And I mean, that feels like a fairly reasonable position to take right now. Any other thoughts from anyone else before we move into PRs? I was just curious to hear what, you know, folks, you know, thought about this stuff specifically as it relates to the VC API. Ted's making a very good point in chat. Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm sure what we're looking at is a multi-protocol future. You know, just like we've got kind of a multiple ways to express a VC in their extension points. You know, it's probably going to be multiple protocols to move VCs. It's an inevitability. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I think that I just want to iterate that. I mean, that's my personal thinking as well. And that's why really the focus should be as much on like, what are these operations and how do you conduct them cleanly and safely, securely, right? You know, be that issue presents, you know, verify really is the core things, and then just try to keep what is that smallest set of things that could be cleanly defined in a way that translates naturally between different protocols, right? And if we do that from a developer guide standpoint and from an API definition standpoint, that will translate well to things like gRPC and, you know, Kafka streams and stuff like that. Like, what can you do and can't you do and why should you do that and what kind of role are you taking when you do that? And based on that role, what are the, you know, what are the implications of that that you should be cognizant of?
Yep. Okay. If no one else has anything, we will move to our PRs. I expect this is just a conversation that's going to continue over the next year, you know, as new things happen. But what I wanted to make clear is that this group is still committed to working on the VC API and moving it forward. That is what I got out of the call this morning. Does anyone disagree with that statement? All right. With that, let's move into our first PR. I am going to screen share because why not? In theory, it didn't crash during the main call today, so in theory, it shouldn't crash here, right? All right. So what's the first one up? It is 263. Okay, so this is the PR that Dave Longley raised. I think at the end of the day, it just removes verification method, proof purpose, and type. This was modified, was it, Longley? Can you give us?
Yeah. Sure. Yep. So it was originally raised to remove just verification method. We had a discussion about that and talked about sort of reworking the API at a higher level. And at the end of all that discussion, Ori said, I've made a couple of suggestions to remove some other options. Let's go ahead and remove those. And if you accept my suggestions, then I will approve the PR. And so that's where we're at.
Okay. So we've got an approval from Ori. Because it was changed, does anyone else have objections on these changes to basically remove the optionality? I'll certainly approve it. So I guess the call would anyone object to merging this since it's been out there for 22 days? Dave made Ori's changes. We've discussed it during the call. Go ahead, Marcus.
I also commented on this. I'm trying to remember now. I don't object to it. I just wrote up some thoughts that I had on this, that perhaps sometimes it is useful to be able to configure these parameters on the client side, or to let the client specify this. I wonder if perhaps some implementations in the future will support this in a vendor specific way, right? So I'm a bit worried that maybe there will be implementations that define their own custom parameters or options that allow you to pick a verification method or allow you to pick a proof purpose. And then we have vendor lock-in and no interoperability. But yeah, I think Dave explained the rationale very well, and I understand that, and I don't object. I think it's fine.
Great. Thank you, Marcus. And to speak to that, I think if there is a vendor that wants to provide that kind of variability in their API, it is their right to do so. Right. And I totally agree with you, Marcus. If they start doing that and they get very popular, then all of a sudden there's potential vendor lock-in. But that is a risk. Yeah, that risk's always there, right? I don't think we limit the options to just the ones there. We just define a set and the implementers can do more if they want to. Okay. I'm not hearing objections to merging this, we will merge. Although, why is it saying we haven't met? I guess
does
other
Ori
people
still have change requests turned on?
No. No. Why is this? All right. I'm going to click the button. I don't know why it's saying we haven't met. Maybe we didn't get enough code owners to... Okay. Rebase and merge. All right. That one's done. Next one up is Mike Varley's Exchange Discovery PR. Is Mike here today? like is not here today. We can discuss this briefly then, but I don't want to do much on it if Mike's not here. Does anyone remember the state that we were in for this? I think we were, what did we, where were we? So Mike's got some questions back to you, Ori. You've got some statements to Mike. Looks like more discussions needed here. Thoughts, Ori?
Yeah, I mean, basic handling of potentially unbounded lists would dictate that we should design the API to account for those things. It's not clear to me what the max range on the resource response is, but, you know, generally when you build a REST API, you don't want to return, you want to return some, you know, interfaces that you can page over millions of results, right? Like just build the API thinking about that ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What did you mean by tutorials here, Ori?
It's literally just an example of how to page over results. You can see total items, total pages, current page. Tutorials is the items collection in this example. It's okay. One of the first search results you get when you search for pagination in JSON. Maybe that was confusing. Maybe I should have linked to MongoDB API documentation or something better for paginated APIs.
Okay. All right. That's clear. All right. Okay. So there just needs to be a little more discussion there. And I don't think we can do much there. Anyone else on the queue to talk about 268? No. All right. So moving on to the next item, which is 269. Okay, so 269 is, I took an action to write a PR to clarify that exchange ID and transaction ID are opaque to the client. This is what the PR basically does. Ignore that the other stuff's not being rendered. That's a bug in the preview. But we're basically saying, wait, so this is just, the action just says, the exchange ID and transaction IDs are meaningful to the server, but are opaque to the client. Just because they're human readable doesn't mean that you should assign any kind of semantics to that human readability as a client. And that's it. That's all the PR does. Small piece of text. We need more reviews on it. And that's kind of where that is. It was only raised 2 days ago, so I'm not going to try and ask folks to merge it. So take a look at it, see if that meets folks' needs. I will note on this that I've had random conversations, I forget with who, a couple of you, I think Mike Varley was one of them, where he was like, people are going to want to shove a JOT in there. And I think Longley, you had also mentioned that, like, we can't just presume that these are 128-bit identifiers. There might be other things that, you know, people want to do stateless, you know, APIs. Again, like some digitally signed something, some short form digitally signed something like a JOT in the transaction ID. Thoughts on that? Do folks feel like it feels like it is going to be very hard for us to push against that. We can keep it at like UUID and multi-base 128-bit ID for now. But, you know, I have a feeling we're going to lose that battle long term. Go ahead, Longley.
So I understand having limits on URL lengths and things like that, and those come from other systems as well that we don't even control. But I don't understand why we would need to create validation rules around restricting these IDs to very specific formats like UUID and things like that. I don't know what that actually buys us, as opposed to just treating them as URLs and letting people know where the transaction IDs and whatever need to go, and allow implementations to put whatever information they need to put there. I do agree that we need to be clear about the semantics, that this is a server chosen ID, and it should be opaque to the client.
So is there a concrete change suggestion in there, Dave, like 100, a kilobyte, 1,000 characters, you know, something like that?
Unless the API is going to need to hang anything off of the end of these URLs, and maybe they need to, the restriction should just be to the length of a URL. Whatever, you know, there are limits in browsers today. I don't know what those lengths are. But we should just be inheriting from that. And unless this API is going to define or expect to have to put something after that, ID, I don't know what the requirement would be to limit it to anything other than the total length of the URL.
Thanks. Mike, you're up.
Yeah, I just wanted to note the main reason you want to define and very clearly kind of limit to like, nope, 128-bit numbers, UUIDs, et cetera, is primarily from security aspect standpoint. I mean, ranging from cross-site scripting to buffer overflow type attacks to embedding encoded script tags to, you know, so basically anything you can do at the spec definition layer to say this is the exact format we want, it's completely opaque and has no meaning, isn't leaking any information in logs or intermediary parties looking at requests, those are all good things to do, right? It may make it more, may make you add an additional layer of like matching IDs to descriptions and stuff like that from a developer standpoint, but that's comparatively trivial compared to the amount of other things that you can encounter by letting it go pretty unbounded.
All right. Go ahead, Longley.
Yeah. So, I mean, I definitely agree that it does need to be bounded to something. But I also want us to be careful that we don't, I saw some discussion, for example, people talking about how we should definitely make these UUIDs so people don't hide things like social security numbers in them. You know, there was some kind of discussion point about that. I don't know why anyone would do that, but you can hide a social security number in a UUID if you want to as well. We're just talking about UUID version 4 is mostly random bits. You can encode whatever you want in there, so that we need to be careful that we also don't engage in a certain level of security theater and that we understand what the threats are. You did mention a number of threats there that, you know, are good for us to consider. And we definitely do want the ID or at least the URL length, something to be well bounded. But we should also be careful about what we're actually protecting against.
Alrighty. So I'm hearing no change for now. But that was a good discussion. All right. I think that's that item. Next item up is bundle the VC API to provide user, usability on API docs or good UX on API docs. It's there in the end. That's 270. Mike, this is your fine work. Please give us some background.
Yeah, basically, respec is great for looking from a spec standpoint. Prior we had Swagger up way back, and then I think I added, I want to say maybe Redoc or something as the default. But basically, there's three core libraries that developers tend to use for looking at OpenAPI docs that also do nice things for us, like cross-check to make sure that you're actually in spec to OpenAPI, and provide the ability to expand out and look at options on the APIs as well as schema stuff and things like that. And Those are Swagger, Redoc, and Rapidoc. And I've added just stubs so developers know how to get at all three and can access all three from this, as well as providing a unified, bundled up, auto-generated spec on Desire, so that if you need to look at just a bundled function for like feeding into other developer tooling, just issuer capabilities or all of issue verifier holder, for instance, right? You can go ahead and do that cleanly and pass things into like Swagger code gen nicely and not have any weird collisions and naming collisions or anything like that.
All right. Plus one to all that. This is great work. I had mentioned that there are a couple of auto-generated files that are being checked in here and noticed that you were using workflows and, I believe we can make it, I think you were doing that just as an example, Mike.
Yeah, I did, and I pulled the auto-gen. I wanted to make sure folks could go back in and look at the actual commit logs on like what actually gets generated, right? If they need to see that. But yes, the autogen stuff is pulled and there is a base, you know, workflow stub in there. We could turn that on at a later date with a later PR. I don't think we need to, you know, rely on this PR to go enable it.
Okay. Plus one to that.
And another kind of side effect of this, by the way, is that this will sanity check and make sure that the OpenAPI YAML stuff is all linted properly, additionally. So it will catch errors as part of the build process if you introduce them, in the spec.
Fantastic.
In the section of the spec.
Great. Yeah, this looks nice and clean now, Mike. So yeah, plus one to merge after folks have had a little more time to look at it. Joe.
Yeah, thanks. No opposition to what's going on here. My question for you, Mike, was, is there a way that this form of documentation evolves to identify the components, i.e. the apps and the services?
So this is actually a nicety here. This is setting us up to go down a path to actually tie in, like if you were to look at Rapidoc, for instance, we could go ahead and feed it the config of anyone complying with the test suite and actually have every one of those providers in the dropdown so you can go issue calls against them, assuming you are authenticated, et cetera, right? So yeah, it covers a lot of that stuff. The big kind of question mark, and this is actually addressed in, I think, my second PR, which is tagging, right? From an OpenAPI standpoint, there really wasn't any in there. I added some base tags in just to get this PR in generating cleanly. And then I think the next PR we're going to talk about actually cleans up some of that, but that will be a room that we can evolve that tagging aspect of it.
Cool. Sounds good.
Awesome. Okay. I think any other thoughts on this? It looks good. It sounds like everyone wants to merge it in. Holding for a little bit and we'll move on. All right. Thank you, Mike. That's going to be a super useful PR. Let's see. Next one up is the initial get and delete operations. That is this PR here, 271. Mike, please give us some background on this one.
Yeah, this is kind of a follow-on, and that's, I think, why we flagged it, do not merge, is don't want to merge this until the prior PR that actually allows for proper bundling and stuff is in, and especially because of tags and whatnot. But this basically is moving us more down the direction of let's actually define a good, clean, open API. And I may have to – looks like I may have that same-ish. Did I – nope. This actually looks right. I thought I may not have backed out the auto-generated stuff, but it looks like I did. But this goes through and covers things like how do I get a credential? How do I get a credential by an get a list of credentials, right? How do I get a credential by ID, et cetera. This is not perfect. This is intended to be, this is a start. There are things like pagination, for instance, that we will want to look at and define a pattern by which we follow. Like, do we want to return total pages in a wrapper object and stuff like that? Those are all common things that get done, but we will want to agree as a, you know, group as to the best pattern to handle that. For everything across the board. Like, in fact, pagination came up, what was that, 2 PRs back that we were looking at, right? So there are things like that that we will want to define once and then reuse as a pattern elsewhere. So yeah, that's, it's basically, you know, getters and killers. Since we have a lot of post, you know, type operations, this is kind of starting to fill in the rest. And I think I put puts in there as well. I don't recall, but wanted to basically say, yep, let's define this basic pattern. If it makes sense, we can get this one in and then we can build off of that and fill in gaps for other things that may be stateful and persisted on the server side.
All right. Thank you for that, Mike. Any questions or concerns about this PR? I do have one kind of set of questions, Mike. I've got no objections to merging this. I don't know, Longleaf, we have a position on gets around credentials or presentations. So just as long as folks kind of know that, like, we don't have an opinion on this right now, but we may form one in the future. And one of those opinions might be like, we don't like it. But certainly, like, let's define it, see, get some implementation experience, and then see where, what folks think about it.
Exactly. It makes total sense. And part of the reason that I want to get this in is, like, if we think from, like, a trade credentialing side, right? If we're going ahead and pushing presentations of credentials over and someone has an issue with one, right? They may need to call back and say, hey, give me that credential by this ID again, right? I missed something on my end, or I blew something up, you know, or need to retrieve some data. So a lot of those kind of core things that come up in practice that we're doing already, like, we probably should just define. So.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah. I don't have any objections to, how it's going so far. A lot of this stuff is happening on the Holder API side of things. One thing that has been going on in issues, I saw that the exchanges API is tucked in here with the Holder API. And one of the things we were talking about is how we might want to actually separate that out and have exchangers be their own, entity. So that's something else to consider in a future PR.
All right. Good things to consider all around. Would anyone object at this point to merging this in the next week? I mean, we'll give it, you know, a couple more days to make sure that everyone's able to take a look at it. Or he's saying he'd be fine seeing Exchange APIs pulled out of Holder APIs. That's good. Maybe we can do a PR. I'm sorry, there's a queue. Marcus, go ahead.
I feel like it's a bit strange that we haven't had this before. Why didn't we think about this in the beginning? I think we may have discussed this at some point and decided that maybe we didn't want this, and maybe we wanted the API to not have storage and to not remember the verifiable credentials. But I think it's fine, so I'm also supportive of this. I would probably argue that this should be optional, right? So there could be implementations that can issue, but then don't remember what they issued. But other than that, I think this is good.
Great points. Mike, you're up.
Yeah, I was going to say a big plus one to pulling exchanges out into their own kind of deal. Like, how do I manage workflows around stuff? Like, I think that would be dependent on the prior PR that kind of cleans up the OpenAPI spec than this one. And then I think naturally that would lead to us then breaking Exchange out into its own now that we can actually bundle stuff properly. And then tag it properly as well. So a big fan of that. I think the main reason that I kept this confined to holder type operations is that's the area where you are by definition, like you're holding something, right? So you need to be able to define how do you go get something out of that? How do you, delete something that's in there? How do you update something that's in there, et cetera, right? Those are all the implicit kinds of operations. And it has strong ramifications and implicit requirements around things like revocation, right? You need to be able to do these kinds of operations in order to cleanly check revocations or cross-check data, et cetera.
All right. Okay. I mean, it sounds like there's, a lot of support for this. Marcus, you've got an excellent memory, Marcus. I do remember us talking about how we might not want these APIs to be super stateful, and so a plus one to making it an optional thing. And so we've got that on the record. Sorry, Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, and Mike said a lot that I agreed with, and my read on this was that this is mostly just around holder APIs, as mentioned before. And I think that that's a little bit new from the original discussions we had a while back where we were focusing on issuer and verifier. And the fact that I see this stuff only going into the holder API is why I'm supportive of it. It's not imposing anything on issuer or verifier APIs to add storage or special access to credentials in this way. This is tied to a holder API, which implicitly is supposed to represent some kind of storage or the ability to get access to some kind of storage of credentials.
Or Europe.
The current revocation APIs with the issuer update credential status operation are stateful, and they imply an ability to store credentials and resolve them over the network. And it is totally broken that we haven't defined that endpoint in some way in these sets of APIs. So yes, like GET operations are a thing developers are going to reach for. And in addition to that, we have a broken revocation feature in the current sets of APIs because we don't define how to get that revocation list credential. So it definitely needs to be fixed.
Thank you, Ori. Mike, you're up.
Yeah, and I think Ori's getting at something that's important. Wow, Ori, Mike, Europe. This transcriber makes me happy sometimes. Sorry. Two things, one in relation to Ori and then one in relation to Mr. Dave Longley there. When we look at things like updating credential status, that really is a put operation if we're following best practices and implies that you're actually holding something, right? Because otherwise, how would you be updating it? So this sets up the ability to start more cleanly defining that stuff, right? That's probably misplaced, being in the issuer, side of the world. Thought very hard about pulling that over into the holders and defining it there properly, but we can deal with that at a later date. And I think, Dave, to your point around optionality, that's one of the reasons we have these separate roles is by definition, you could go in and pick out and say, nope, I'm only doing stateless issuer or verifier type operations. Cool. Great. Awesome. But if you do want to get into that holder aspect, which is going to have other security requirements and operational, that's pretty well, it's implying some kind of state or you can't do it. Like revocation lists, for instance, are an obvious one. Retrieval in the event of a storage failure is another one, right? So we're going to have to go in and define this stuff cleanly. I don't know so much about saying, well, if you define a holder, you can opt into the ability for someone wanting to use holder stuff to go get a credential. That makes me a little nervous, but
I think from a role based, as far as opting into what roles you're filling, that makes sense to me.
All right. Go ahead, Longley.
Yeah, just one quick point to make. I agree with most of what's been said here. Well, there are some interesting lines for which, you know, buckets things fall into, whether or not an issuer is being, which holder role are you playing? Are you holding credentials for X, Y, or Z? If we're talking about revocation, and certainly there's stateful information with issuers and verifiers, that, you know, you need to hold challenges, for example, for, to be a good verifier, for, to be an issuer that does revocation, you need to be able to hold on or reference, revocation lists, credentials in some place. And, but currently in the API, we, you know, Ori was saying it's broken. I don't think that it's actually broken right now. We just defer to revocation, list specifications to say, this is how you go fetch the revocation credential. And that does work with the APIs we have. It's just not bound to these other RESTful APIs for fetching credentials. And we should consider, do those revocation list credentials go into the same bucket that you would find these other credentials in? Or are you talking about a different holder instance? Those sorts of things or questions that are going to come up in the future.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Queue's empty. We've had a good bit of discussion. All good things to keep in mind as we move forward on this, but I'm not hearing anyone objecting strongly to, merging this after a couple of days. Okay. That is that item. Let's see what's next up. We're actually almost all the way through all of our PRs. So next up is adding a JSON schema renderer for respec. That is pull 272. And this is my futile attempt to try and render OpenAPI specifications in respec and auto-generate normative spec language from it. The initial experiment didn't, I mean, it went fairly well. Like, so currently in the VCA API spec, let me show you, see what we have today, right? Today, if you look at one of the definitions, it's looks awful. It's a bunch of JSON schema that you can't really make out, and there's just a lot of it and that kind of stuff, right? So I wrote a respec renderer, to render that JSON schema to look like this. This is the first iteration. But it does, you know, show you kind of the object that you should expect and the values there. And it even generates some normative text where it says like each item in the context array must be a string that comes directly from the JSON schema. So whatever changes we make to the JSON schema are automatically rendered and reflected in the respec file. And hopefully helps people kind of understand the type of objects they should be sending in. Future work including the examples in here, and, you know, getting some things, better. It's really hard to generate human readable prose from JSON schema, but, you know, it's not bad for a first attempt. We have some gaps in it. So doing this, exposed a bunch of gaps in the JSON schema we have. In fact, some of the descriptions we have are pretty awful. In some cases, we don't have an explanation of what the thing is. Like, this is not a bug. It's just, we totally don't talk about, you know, the description here. In some cases, we put examples in with the, JSON schema text. In other cases, we actually define an appropriate, you know, example, and so on and so forth. So, one good thing that came out of this is it caught a bunch of bugs that we have in our actual JSON schema. Okay. So that's that PR. It just changes this pure JSON schema output to something that's rendered a bit more nicely. Comments, thoughts, concerns?
Does this handle any of one of conditional type checking for JSON schema?
Yes.
So it will render, it's fully supporting all of the features of OpenAPI Specification 3's profile of JSON schema.
Fully supporting, no, but in time it will. I only had a couple of hours over the weekend to do this. So for example, the any of is, if you look right here, the issuer object must be either a string or an object of the following form. That is an any of statement in the OAS file. So absolutely, we have to support that stuff if we're going to render it. But this is an example of it supporting any of. The problem is that OAS and JSON schema is it's been hacked together over many, many years, and so
actually, personally, I love it.
I know you do.
One of my favorite things of all time is that you can see a rendering of this exact stuff currently with any off-the-shelf OpenAPI specification rendering tool.
Yeah. The writing the renderer though is difficult. So at different levels, they do different things. There's a whole bunch of like if-then switch statements that nobody should care about. But I'm just saying, like, it'll take a while to get there. But you know that this was able, I was able to do this in a couple of hours. It's probably not going to be hard to get the rest of the stuff supported.
I know what I'm about to say is probably not going to come across well, so I'm trying, but I would much prefer to see pull requests editing these definitions in the existing renderer than see pull requests defining a new renderer for OpenAPI Specification 3.
Sure, I'll handle that. W3C has certain things that they expect in your specification. There are a couple of options we have. We can either say, in order to be conformant with this specification, you must be fully conformant with the entirety of the JSON schema. And there's one normative statement in the specification. I don't expect something like that to go over well. Or OS 3 or whatever it is, right? We just basically say the spec only has one normative statement where it's like, follow OS 3.0. And that's the only must statement we have, versus having actual, normative statements in the spec and being able to have test suites, that test that stuff. So my suggestion is that it is going to be very hard for people to look at this and kind of understand what's going on by just looking at pure JSON schema. In the rendered JSON schema, while web developers, work with it, it does not have the type of normative statements that are expected in most, standards, things. So this is an attempt to bridge the world so that the folks that want pure JSON schema can have pure JSON schema and they can render it in any way that they want to. But it's also expressed in a way that makes sense to W3C, and because all of that's being auto-generated from the same source, it all says the same thing, like normatively, right? That's it. So that's my, that is why I feel pretty strongly that we need this renderer, because without it, the spec doesn't really say much of anything. Thoughts?
I think I'm on cue there. Maybe I didn't add right, but, the other thought, is that because there's kind of two things. One is kind of, is this in respec from a formatting and a theming standpoint? And then, rendered out, in a way that's consumable, preferably with as much optionality as possible to make sure that it, all the actual details to objects are captured, et cetera. The other path we could go, is just putting a theme together for, and a config together for something like RappyDoc, or Redoc, and have it render out as, with, respec bound around it, et cetera, right? And just insert that stuff as header and footer in the templates, I mean, that is an option. And then we're not worrying about the renderer, you know, like interpreting and rendering this stuff, right? It's more, you know, are we theming and are we inserting, you know, normative text where it needs to be inserted?
Yep. So two questions. Is anyone under the impression that 100% of this is not auto-generated? Like, so, or you said something that made it seem like you thought that this is handwritten stuff.
No, I wasn't trying to infer that. I was asking whether you supported all of the features of OpenAPI specification that we automatically validate, because if you don't, you'll be maintaining that difference for this tool, whereas we wouldn't have that issue if we just used an existing tool that implemented all those features.
Sure. If someone wants to raise a PR that uses an existing tool to render this stuff in a way that makes sense to, like, either any kind of, you know, standards ITF spec or W3C spec, like plus one to that. I did look at doing that. In some of the challenges with all of these tools is that they view themselves as kind of the center of the world, and they are the one that is going to be creating the structure and rendering it in, you know, the appropriate way. And that stuff was not easily importable into respec. The other issue, of course, is that those things, what's in this JSON schema files, contains zero normative language. So there's that challenge as well. So, I mean, plus one to someone doing the work and, you know, creating a renderer. I tried doing that. It was not, I could not see a path through the jungle, primarily because of the way these renderers tend to basically create the structure of the document and then just change the CSS classes. Go ahead, Ori.
Yep. I mean, I understand the desire to have W3C, you know, normative language rendered out with these musts, and certainly you've created a tool here that does that. I am not volunteering to assist you in the development, maintenance, or configuration of this tool. I am committed to maintaining these API definitions in OpenAPI Specification 3. I think it is a mistake to invest in this kind of thing and spend call time on it. And we have Redoc and Swagger renderers for OpenAPI Specification 3. And I think it would be better to have a single normative statement that said, conformant implementations implement the OpenAPI Specification 3. And that, as a single normative requirement, feels to me much better, because it makes us put our effort into the spec instead of putting our effort into normative statements under every field and property in the spec. We have to actually make the API spec clean and consistent, and I think it aligns incentives properly. So, I mean, again, like, I appreciate the tool. It looks very nice, but, you know, I'm definitely not volunteering to assist in any kind of work on this.
Yep, plus one. I wasn't expecting anyone to help with maintenance of this tool. Go ahead, Dave.
Is there any other W3C spec that we can turn to that has precedence here so we can copy what they're doing, or are we yet again doing something brand new?
All the W3C specs, all the specs that I've seen that have come out of standard setting organizations have handwritten all the normative language. And Ori, that is not true. W3C has defined HTTP APIs before. The linked data platform is an example.
I think that was before OAS was popular.
Yep. Yeah, just to be clear, like, the core definition happens in OAS. Nobody's saying that that changes. Okay. Anyone else want to weigh in on this? So I'm hearing opposition to this PR.
I'm not opposed to PR. I'm kind of more along the lines of, like, is there perhaps a more efficient way? And I'm just not 100% sure, just because we've done some pretty crazy retheming without a huge amount of effort on both Rapidoc and Redocly. I did note that the OpenAPI spec, and I think it got lost by the transcriber, but like the guys that actually have the OpenAPI specification, right? OAI, they are generating from, just using the normal IETF, approach and then generating respec from that. What I've not dug into yet is how much are they like defining normative text or defining themselves in OpenAPI specification. But that is, something that they for sure are doing and are, generating out clean respec with full documentation, et cetera.
To be clear, I did approve the pull request.
Yeah, as did I.
Okay. Plus one, I don't want to be maintaining this tooling either, but it's the only way that I can see, putting it into a format that W3C members are going to like recognize. Right. Otherwise, we're going to be, fighting an uphill battle of trying to convince W3C that they should be using OAS to define specs. And maybe that'll, happen just fine. But plus one, if somebody else wants to do the work to make this easier or put it into some kind of format that's going to be easy to put through, W3C and or IETF, like, please help to do that. And I realize that, people may not want to help, with this current tool, but that, I'm fine with that. Okay. Any other comments, questions on this? All righty. That's it for the call today. Sorry, we went a minute over. Thanks everyone for the great discussion. Thanks folks for, the PRs. I think we're clear on actions. So, please look at the issues and see if there's some PRs that you can raise, or want to raise, before next week's call. We will probably not meet if they're not new PRs. So please raise some PRs. You feel that there's a certain item that needs to be pushed forward. With that, thanks everyone for the call. See you all next week. Bye.